Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The BBC is on a three-city tour of the U.S., and it's currently in town, focusing its lens on St. Louis news and culture. One part of that visit is the BBC Arts Hour's free performance tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center on UMSL's campus. And if you were listening to this station yesterday at 2 p.m., you were greeted with a departure from our usual schedule.
Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you today live from St. Louis, Missouri in the United States. We're broadcasting from the studios of our friends and partners at St. Louis Public Radio, just down the road from the soaring steel of the city's famous Gateway Arch, the gateway to the West. It's long been a crossroad.
That's the BBC's daily flagship news program, NewsHour, and it was broadcast from this very studio yesterday afternoon. And that voice you heard was anchor James Menendez, who joins me now. James, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hello, good to be back in the same studio, but on the other side of the perspex.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with BBC NewsHour, it is a daily one-hour show. What does the program aim to do?
Yeah, I mean, the basic principle is, as the name suggests, it is an hour of news. And that's the beauty of it, that we get to look at whatever's happening anywhere in the world and say, OK, we think these are the six, seven, eight most important stories or most interesting stories or most entertaining stories. And then we put them on the air in the best way that we can. We're actually broadcast twice a day, although most stations that carry us, for example, in the United States will obviously just carry one of those editions. So we have two teams working to essentially survey the world and tell people and try and explain to people in this very confusing, sometimes troubling world that we live in at the moment, what is going on.
Right. And you said, look, as far as the approach or the perspective from which BBC NewsHour is presenting that news, it's doing it from an international perspective, right? What does that mean?
Well, it's a very good question. It's a difficult one. We try and stand apart a little bit. We're certainly not trying to bring the news through a British lens, a UK lens, although of course many of the people who work on the programme they're living in London and they are from the UK, but we have lots of staff from all around the world. And we're trying to, yes, look at what's happening in the world, but just from a global perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting, the whole issue of perspective, because, of course, when we're doing, for example, US stories, we're highly conscious that we're broadcasting to the US as well. And we're thinking, well, what are they going to make of this? Are they going to think this is just too simple because, you know, they know everything that's going on, or are we too late with the news? But we're always trying to make that balance that equally we're also broadcasting to Asia, to West Africa, to East Africa, and trying to explain to people there, for example, in the case of the United States, what is going on as we go into an election. And that means a very, very different perspective than one that you guys might be used to.
Right. Now, among the issues that you have covered while you've been here, and something that is important in this local, regional, you know, national context, our efforts to legalize abortion in Missouri. Why has that been of particular interest?
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it in that question, which is that it's a very important issue here in St. Louis and here in Missouri. And in fact, it's a live issue, as we discovered on the program yesterday when we were talking to your politics editor, Fred Ehrlich, and he was quick to say, look, I've just been speaking to someone before I came on to talk to you. And he was explaining about efforts to ensure that the measure was struck off the ballot. And of course, those legal challenges are continuing today. So it's very much a live issue, but one that has a clear impact on the national election. I mean, I don't know whether you disagree with me, but it's certainly one of the top three, four, five issues as we head into this election. And of course, it's an issue that resonates around the world. And we thought it would be a useful way just to show not only what is happening here in Missouri, but the sort of impact that might have as we head into November.
Mm-hmm, right. And we are still expecting that decision from the Missouri Supreme Court today about whether Amendment 3 will indeed be on the ballot. And we'll be talking about that on our show tomorrow. You also did a little bit of a field trip. You went out to Defiance, Missouri, mm-hmm. and to a rodeo there. What drove that decision?
Well, what do you think of the decision? I mean, I could see a few raised eyebrows when we said we were going to do that. I mean, we wanted to look at this question, and it is an enormously complex question of what is a Midwesterner, because it's a very diverse region, and clearly we're just in one small corner of that region, and indeed one small corner of Missouri. So listen, we've only been here a few days, and we don't pretend to be giving a comprehensive answer, but it was a very useful way, just to get, give people around the world a sort of a flavor of one aspect of culture here, and to talk to people perhaps with a different perspective to people in St. Louis City, for example, of what they think about Midwestern values. But also, as you will have heard in the piece, we were talking about other issues, particularly immigration, for example. Mm-hmm. The Republicans in this election across the country being making big play of illegal immigration and what a problem that is. And then it's so interesting to hear that, for example, in St. Louis City, actually this place needs people to come and work here. The population is declining. So that's a nice counterbalance to that sort of national narrative we've been hearing from one party.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have been here in St. Louis for just shy of a week or so, and you have been talking with people, not just with talking heads, about what it means to be a Midwesterner generally. And again, as you noted, in the context of this upcoming presidential election that people are watching all over the world, what have your impressions of St. Louis and of the Midwest in general been in the short time that you've spent
very
here.
Short time. Yeah, well, I'm going to flatter you now and say that everyone has been incredibly welcoming and polite to us and incredibly willing to talk and engage. And that's people from both sides of the political divide, very happy to talk. And I think the most interesting thing is, and I don't know whether this, I mean, it's certainly not true across the board, but it's funny, you know, I was trying to probe and talk to people and say, look, you know, you guys are polite. You're very nice to each other. Mm-hmm. Why is it that polarization in the United States is such a problem? Is it that actually nationally people need to learn from people in Missouri and the Midwest and actually just be a bit more tolerant of other people's views? But certainly, you know, the impression I got was that actually, you know, I mean, the polarization is such a big problem. But if people in at least in one corner of the United States are prepared to listen to each other, I think that's a message of hope, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. So we're sitting here talking in a studio. People are hearing on the radio, but NewsHour is television, and you have a viral moment that people may not realize it was you. And that was in 2017. You were doing an interview with an academic about an impeachment scandal of South Korea's President Park Geun-hye. And for those who might not recall, that exchange was not memorable for its political analysis. It was two of the professor's children coming into the room and his wife sliding in to extract said children from the office. And that video, the video of that interview to date, has more than 60 million views.
Is that what it is? I didn't know the whole figure.
Yes, on YouTube. Did you recognize, you know, the humor of it all at that time? And, you know, do such moments of unexpected levity kind of make your work easier in some way?
Well, they certainly do on a personal level. I mean, it's really interesting. And I was speaking to someone yesterday about just that because they reminded me of what had happened. I mean, of course, you know, when we were watching it, we thought it was funny. But when you're on the air, you're also thinking, as I'm sure you are now, about all sorts of other things, including timings. You're coming, as happened then, we were coming to the end of the program. And so we were like, well, if we sort of if we're nice to this guy and we say, look, it's okay, you've clearly got issues with your children, you just need to look after them and make sure that they're okay, we can end the interview. We actually didn't have anything else to go to. So we had to let it run, which in retrospect, of course, was fantastic because it meant that the whole scene played out. Anyway, I was at the end of my shift when that had happened, and I came off air and I just grabbed my bag and I was about to go home, and I said to someone, look, I said, why don't you just clip that up and put it on social media? I'm sure someone would want to see it. And then forgot about it. And then 2 hours later, it blew up.
It did. James Menendez, thank you for coming in to talk with us while you're in town. James Menendez is a journalist and a presenter of the BBC's flagship program, NewsHour. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.